It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Trump at the UN. Good afternoon. Welcome aboard. President Trump making a pitch for religious freedom at the United Nations General Assembly in New York today, while other world leaders are attending a summit on climate change. The commander-in-chief making religious freedom his priority. And evangelicals are glad about that.
80% of the world lives under some form of religious persecution, and we take for granted what we have here in the United States.
Tony Perkins with the Family Research Council.
And this administration, doing more than any other administration has done to advance this in their foreign policy.
Mr. Trump today calling on the international community to take concrete steps to end religious persecution.
This is the first time any leader of a nation has addressed the UN on religious persecution.
Fox News religion contributor Robert Jeffress.
A third of the world is living under religious persecution. 80% of it is against Christians.
Tomorrow morning, the president delivers his yearly address before the UN General Assembly. Iran continues to deny claims that it attacked two Saudi oil facilities. It says if there is a war with the U.S., it will not be their doing.
I'm not confident that we can avoid a war. I'm confident that we will not start one.
Iran's foreign minister warns.
I'm confident that whoever starts one will not be the one who finishes it.
Former Secretary of State John Kerry says war with Iran should be avoided at all costs.
The president, I think, is actually correct to be evaluating sort of not being rushed into a corner to go to war.
The U.S. sending troops and equipment to Saudi Arabia. The president says there are no plans to hold talks with Iran at the U.N. General Assembly this week. On Wednesday, the president is scheduled to hold talks with the leader of Ukraine, who is smack dab in the middle of another Trump controversy.
Why is he on the phone with a foreign leader trying to intimidate a foreign leader if that's what happened? That appears what happened. Trump's doing this because he knows I'll beat him like a drum.
Former Vice President Joe Biden accusing Mr. Trump of trying to get Ukraine's leader to dig up dirt on his son who runs a gas company in Ukraine. Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin.
The real issue here is not what the president said, but what indeed did Biden's son do?
A whistleblower complaint filed last week claims President Trump asked Ukraine to investigate his political rival. Mr. Trump denies that ever happened.
The one who's got the problem is Biden. As you look at what Biden did is a disgrace. What his son did is a disgrace. The son took money from Ukraine. The son took money from China. A lot of money from China. Let me just tell you, what Biden did was wrong.
President Trump at the UN this morning. The nation's largest abortion provider in court today in California. Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Planned Parenthood is before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals trying to block a new Trump administration policy that took effect this summer. The policy prevents federally funded family planning services like Planned Parenthood from referring women for abortions. Planned Parenthood is giving up $60 million a year in funding over the Title X rule. It still receives about a $500 million a year in taxpayer subsidies. Brennan Dixon, Family Life News.
As many as 600,000 travelers, a quarter of them British, stranded at airports around the world today after this morning's collapse of the London-based Thomas Cook Travel. Dave Williams is stuck in an airport in Florida.
We're due to be flying home Tuesday. We're not at all protected. And basically, it's the uncertainty of, you know, should we start looking for alternative flights?
The 178-year-old travel agency is bankrupt after failing to find a last-minute bailout. Deidre Hutton is the aviation official charged with bringing home 150,000 stranded Brits from 18 countries.
This is the world's oldest travel company, and it is incredibly sad to see it go like this.
Britain's biggest peacetime repatriation is now officially underway. Some 22,000 Thomas Cook employees are jobless today. Climate change protesters blocked traffic near the White House this morning.
Stop pushing me! Stop pushing me!
The demonstrators tried to stop police from towing away a van that was blocking a busy intersection. These protesters are interfering with traffic to draw attention to what they call the climate crisis. It's the first day of fall, don't you know, but summer's sizzle still being felled over a huge swath of the country. Meteorologist Bill Karen.
Usually this time of year, you know, you cool off, occasionally at least, and that's just not the case. This month to date, the hottest September on record, we're on pace in Miami, New Orleans, Houston, Dallas, Austin, San Antonio, and Denver, and many other locations are having their top five warmest Septembers that they've ever recorded.
We'll cool off a little bit tomorrow with a cold front coming through tonight, but then it's back up to near 80 degrees again, possibly by the weekend. Lots of weather action in the South Atlantic, Bermuda under a tropical storm watch with former Hurricane Jerry now approaching and Tropical Storm Karen expected to pass over or near Puerto Rico tomorrow. Still to come on the Noon Report for Monday, a rare virus in Pennsylvania, body cameras for New York State troopers, emergency evacuations north of Binghamton this morning. We'll have details on that after this.
Good afternoon. We're tracking a few showers across the area this afternoon, watching for a possible thunderstorm, too. I'll be back with forecast details coming up. We'll look for you in 10 minutes.
Okay, sounds great. Thank you, Kevin. Checking the headlines where you live across New York and Pennsylvania. A hazmat spill on Interstate 88 north of Binghamton this morning, forcing emergency evacuations. Police say a tractor trailer carrying hazardous materials crashed in the town of Fenton around 1 a.m. The Broome County Office of Emergency Services issued the mandatory evacuation for nearly 100 residents within a quarter mile of the accident. The Port Crane, Hillcrest, and Shenango Bridge fire departments are serving as evacuation centers. Two area schools were closed today. The big rig was carrying compressed natural gas. In Luzerne County, Pennsylvania, a 28-year-old man is in custody today after threatening to carry out a school shooting and then detonate pipe bombs at two Hazleton area schools. Christian Deal told authorities he was only joking, but the Hazleton police chief says he's not so sure.
I think someone that jokes about hurting children with what we've seen in our nation with mass shootings, that's a poor joke. And I think that's somebody that needs to be evaluated.
Residents of Hazleton say they are thankful for the quick action of a concerned citizen who notified police about this threat.
I was, like, thankful to whoever that concerned citizen is for doing what they did, because if they didn't, it might have happened.
Whoever tipped them off, we owe them a ton of gratitude and thanks for sharing that information, which is always so important, that if you hear something, say something.
Christian Deal now facing felony charges of threatening to use a weapon of mass destruction. School started on time as usual this morning in Hazleton. A rare, potentially deadly virus that is transmitted by mosquitoes and birds is making the rounds in Pennsylvania. Keep an eye on this story. Three counties, Erie, Carbon, and Monroe, have all tested positive for Eastern Equine Encephalitis, or Triple E, as it's known. The virus was found in pheasants, horses, and a wild turkey in those three counties. Health officials in Harrisburg say the infection is fatal in 30% of human cases. Pennsylvanians are now encouraged to wear insect repellent while outside and get rid of standing water on your property. That is where mosquitoes like to breed. New York State will be cracking down on underage drinking throughout the month of October. That story new at noon today from Family Life's Bill Price.
Yeah, Bob, Governor Cuomo says the multi-agency crackdown will help keep New York's roads safe and hold responsible those who enable underage drinking. Next month, the New York Liquor Authority and the State Department of Motor Vehicles, along with local police, will conduct underage drinking checks at bars, restaurants, liquor stores, and grocery stores. Anyone under 21 found to be using fake IDs will have their license suspended for up to a year. Businesses charged with underage liquor sales will be fined up to $10,000. And employees who sell alcohol to minors will be arrested. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bill. New York State Police could be the next law enforcement enforcement agency to utilize body cameras. State Senator Patrick Gallivan says there's no question that body cameras are a useful tool. However,
they shouldn't be considered a panacea. Policing is still about human interaction.
That said, Gallivan admits cops who wear cameras tend to behave better than those who don't. He worries about the cost to make these cameras mandatory.
Ultimately, the legislature would have to provide the funding that I think would be estimated probably in the neighborhood of $15 million a year, and that has to come from somewhere.
According to Spectrum News, the union that represents the New York State Police does not oppose the push to require New York State troopers wear body cameras. And efforts afoot to have climate change taught in Pennsylvania public schools. Here's Family Life's Terry Diener.
Schools in Pennsylvania are not formally required to teach climate change. This month, Pennsylvania got one step closer to ensuring climate change is taught. Governor Tom Wolf announced the state is starting a process to modernize its science curriculum. One option on the table is the Next Generation Science Standards, which have comprehensive climate change lessons from kindergarten to 12th grade. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
All right, very interesting. Thank you, Terry. We are coming up on 12 past the hour. This is the Noon Report for a Monday. Make it 3-0 for Buffalo. Sports is next. It's the 2-Minute Drill with Sonny Delfiette.
Yeah, let's circle the wagons at New Era Field. Frank Gore with the score.
To the end zone. Touchdown, Bills. A 1-yard plunge. And Buffalo has retaken the lead.
Bills come back to beat the Bengals 21-17. The undefeated Bills, 3-0 for the first time since 2011, will take on the undefeated defending world champion New England Patriots next Sunday. Patriots big over the Jets 30-14. Luke Falk for the Jets, just 98 yards and an interception as the team falls to 0-3 for the first time since 2003. In Philadelphia, Lions leading the Eagles 27-24. Fourth down, Carson Wentz.
Let's it fly down the field, and it's broken up into secondary.
Incomplete. Eagles fall to 1-2 on the year. For the Giants, boy, what a comeback. Down by 18, Daniel Jones' show is on.
Jones steps up, takes off, he's in! Touchdown.
Giants take down the Buccaneers 32-31. That's the good news. Bad news, Saquon Barkley exited the game with a high ankle sprain. Not sure how long he'll be out. Giants improved to 1-2. Out west, the Steelers fall to the Niners 24-20, despite the defense grabbing 5 turnovers. But it's the 2 Steeler turnovers that did them in, says head coach Mike Tomlin.
We turned the ball over twice. They scored 2 touchdowns in the second half, and really that's the difference in the game. In the first half, we were getting turnovers, and we were settling for field goals. And so, you know, there's the, you know, that's the storyline of the game.
And last night, Baker Mayfield, 4th and goal.
And the pass is picked off in the end zone.
Rams safety John Johnson with an interception. Rams beat the Browns 20-13. Monday Night Football tonight in the nation's capital, Redskins hosting the Bears. Major League Baseball, Astros locked up the American League West for the 3rd straight year. Indians big over Philadelphia 10-1. The Mets over the Reds to remain 4.5 out of the wild card. Yankees big over Toronto. Twins beat Kansas City. Pirates fall to Milwaukee. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Delfiette.
All right, excellent work as always at the sports desk, Sonny. Thank you very much. And still to come on the Noon Report, Kev's got your first day of fall forecast. The UN General Assembly in session in New York, and twin boys from Western New York get to meet their hero, and their hero did not disappoint. We'll have that heartwarming story coming up after the break.
The so-called right to die always devolves into the duty to die, especially when the money runs out. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. 6 years ago, Sean Taggart of British Columbia was diagnosed with ALS, otherwise known as Lou Gehrig's disease. An ALS diagnosis is essentially a death sentence. There's no known cure. People with ALS eventually lose control over most of the muscles in their bodies, including the ones that enable them to breathe. Despite his grim diagnosis, Taggart decided to live as long as he could for the sake of his son, who was 6 years old at the time. So for 5 years, he's advocated on behalf of ALS patients, and he's become a symbol of someone who refused to give up. And then, last month, Taggart informed his friends that he decided to opt for physician-assisted suicide under Canada's medical assistance in dying law. Why? Well, Taggart didn't give up because he believed the fight for life was no longer worth it. He gave up because those who could have helped him refused. Totally paralyzed and requiring a ventilator to breathe, Taggart required full-time care in order to live at home with his son. But government medical officials would only provide 20 hours of care a day. Thus, he could only get the round-the-clock care he needed by moving to a group facility nearly 5 hours away from his home and his son. Taggart appealed his decision that was separating him from his boy, and officials never responded. A Facebook post in Taggart's honor put it this way: the few institutional options on hand would have offered vastly inferior care while separating him from his family, and likely would have hastened his death. And so, in Taggart's mind, physician-assisted suicide had become the least horrible option. His death has set off shockwaves throughout Canada. Dr. Leonie Herx, a palliative care specialist and opponent of Canada's euthanasia law, is harshly calling her country to task. "We need," she wrote, "a public outcry. We need to ensure physical needs are met before we get to a place where people are feeling like death is the only option." Now, of course, government officials first failed Taggart by making physician-assisted suicide legal in the first place. The Medical Assistance in Dying Law, like all pro-death legislation, sent a crystal-clear message that euthanasia is an acceptable alternative to palliative care. Inevitably, this will lead to decisions in which life is priced out compared to the cost of resources. When the resources are scarce, the right to die will become the duty to die. In Taggart's case, scarce was about $200 a day. What happened in British Columbia can happen in Belgium, and in Oregon, and in New Zealand, and in Colorado, anywhere physician-assisted suicide is legal. In fact, the U.S. likely spends less on in-home health care services than Canada does. As Pew Research has reported, Medicaid and private insurance plans offer scant or no coverage for home visits for patients with serious debilitating conditions who are not hospitalized or in hospice. So are we ready for this, church? It took us a couple decades to catch up on all the ways we could help protect preborn life. Are we ready for the fight now against legalized euthanasia? The church has learned to support expectant mothers, to make apologetic arguments for when life begins, to offer ultrasound insight into the womb. What do we now need to learn about palliative care, debilitating disease, and family support? How do we help those who lack the resources to keep themselves alive? How do we get creative? Do things like medical sharing hold promise? Will we support faith-based hospices like we support pregnancy resource centers? These are tough questions. So please, before we give up on this, let's open our Bibles to Matthew 25. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
18 past the hour. Let's get that first day of fall forecast next with meteorologist Kevin Williams. All right, Kevin, could use a little rain out there, getting kind of dry in spots. This is the Noon Report. I'm your host, Bob Price. Here's what's going on Monday afternoon, the 23rd of September. An emergency situation ongoing north of Binghamton. A tractor trailer carrying compressed natural gas has rolled over. Happened around 1 o'clock this morning on Interstate 88 in the town of Fenton. Nearly 100 homes within a quarter mile of the highway evacuated as a precaution. Fire departments in Shenango Bridge, Hillcrest, and Port Crane are serving as evacuation centers this afternoon. The Shenango Valley and Shenango Forks schools closed today. Governor Cuomo has sent state hazmat crews to the scene to assist in the cleanup operation. The UN General Assembly is in session in New York. President Trump gives his big speech before the world body tomorrow. Today, he's skipping a UN climate change summit in order to take part in a discussion about religious persecution. More on that from correspondent Greg Clugson.
A senior administration official says 83% of the world's population lives in nations where religious freedom is threatened or even banned. Mr. Trump will call on world leaders to not just talk about it, but to take action to end religious persecution.
Reporter Kelly O'Donnell has more on the president's itinerary this week while in New York.
Among the many meetings he has over the next few days is his first in person with Ukraine's president. That's set for Wednesday. On Iran, no meeting is scheduled, but Mr. Trump said he will remain flexible.
More than 90 world leaders are taking part in the 74th annual UN General Assembly. The gathering being overshadowed somewhat by that now infamous phone call between President Trump and the leader of Ukraine. Here's White House spokeswoman Stephanie Grisham.
The president made it very clear he did absolutely nothing wrong. This is just another reason for Democrats and for the media to attack and look for things that just aren't there.
Correspondent Stephen Portnoy continues our coverage.
Insisting it was a perfectly appropriate call, President Trump says he's thinking of releasing the transcript of his July chat with the leader of Ukraine.
We'll make a determination about how to release it, releasing it, saying what we said.
Though Mr. Trump says he's concerned about weakening the trust between presidents and their counterparts.
You don't want foreign leaders to feel that they shouldn't be speaking openly and good. You have to be talking to people.
Mr. Trump continues to insist he never applied pressure on Ukraine's president to investigate Joe Biden's son.
That was not pressure. I know when I give pressure.
The Wall Street Journal reported he brought it up on the call 8 times. The president will meet with Vladimir Zelensky here on Wednesday. Stephen Portnoy, New York.
Climate protesters blocking major intersections in the nation's capital today. Activists blocked intersections from Capitol Hill to downtown Washington near the Washington Monument and the White House. Organizers of Shut Down D.C. urging protesters to flood the streets and bring the whole city to a standstill. A new poll today shows Elizabeth Warren the new front runner in the Democratic race for president. Yeah, Elizabeth Warren. The Massachusetts senator downplaying the significance of this poll.
I know two polls. We are still months away from the Iowa caucuses and the first primary election.
The poll gives Warren a 2-point lead over Joe Biden in Iowa. It's the first poll to show anybody other than Biden in the lead. Other candidates like Cory Booker, expected to drop out soon if their campaigns don't start to pick up traction and soon. Booker's campaign manager says,
if we cannot raise $1.7 million in the last 10 days of this quarter, in the last 10 days of September, then Cory's going to have to make some tough decisions, and I'm going to have to make some tough decisions about his future in this race.
A new NBC News Wall Street Journal poll shows 46% of voters give President Trump credit for an improving economy. Those are his highest numbers in that survey since taking office. Hundreds of thousands of tourists have found themselves stranded after the collapse of a giant British travel agency. Live in London, correspondent Vicky Barker.
600,000 Thomas Cook customers stranded in some 18 countries. Others here in Britain drove to their local airports today only to learn that the foreign tours they paid for aren't happening.
My flight's been cancelled with 3 kids and they're sobbing their heart out in the car.
Now it's up to individual governments to get their citizens home. Britain's just launched its biggest ever peacetime repatriation for its 150,000 stranded Thomas Cook customers.
Thomas Cook is the world's oldest travel firm. It opened in 1841 but is shut down today after it could not get a financial aid package from its lenders. A judge has ruled in a battle over the hate group label.
U.S. District Judge Myron Thompson says the Southern Poverty Law Center has a First Amendment right to call a Christian ministry a hate group for its opposition to homosexuality. The decision rejects a complaint filed by Florida-based Coral Ridge Ministries Media Incorporated. The ministry is being barred from receiving charitable donations from Amazon customers because the SPLC has labeled it a hate group and Amazon has decided to accept that assessment.
Correspondent Michael Harrington, a Gallup survey finds Americans are borrowing $88 billion a year to pay off medical debt. 4 in 10 customers say they've received a surprise medical bill within the last year. Frank Esposito says he got a surprise bill, $650,000 for back surgery.
It's kind of back pain that just wouldn't go away. He said, you need to go to the closest hospital immediately. Herniation was so severe that it could have severed my nerve in half.
His insurance company refused to foot the bill, and now Esposito's wondering,
how am I going to pay this?
Esposito says his insurance company told him his back surgery was not an emergency. Facebook accused of having a bias against a pro-life group. That group is California-based Live Action, which has 3 million followers.
Facebook has not reformed its fact-checking system. They're still using politics to regulate content on the platform. This affects all 2 billion plus of their users.
Live Action founder Lila Rose.
Facebook decided to use 2 abortionists to fact check our content and say that we were false. And this is content we've been saying for years, but these 2 activist abortionists were used as their independent fact checkers, who are supposed to be nonpartisan, who are supposed to not take public policy positions, and we were penalized.
Facebook censored Live Action for violating its rules for posting content. 25 past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
Welcome to Missions in Action, a feature that focuses on the work of missionaries who are delivering the good news of Jesus around the region and around the world. Today, we're visiting with Brian Solomon with Capital Ministries. So, Brian, we continually hear negative things about politics and politicians, but the work you do sees politicians as people and those men and women as a mission field. Would you please give us an overview of what Capital Ministries does?
We are primarily a Bible teaching ministry, and we put Bible teachers on the campus of capitals at the local, state, federal, and international capitals for the purpose of pointing people to Jesus. So we look to try to cultivate relationships with political leaders who are followers of Jesus, who would sponsor a Bible study on the capitol grounds of their state capitol or the federal capitol or their local municipality building, whether it's a school board meeting or a city hall or something like that. We're just pointing political leaders toward Christ.
And you have this new adventure. What is the next step for you?
I've been serving as a family ministry pastor at our church in Springfield, Ohio for the last 13 years. And we've just been praying, Lord, what is it that you want us to do in the next leg of our ministry? And God's put a huge burden on my heart to do some more preaching and teaching sort of ministries. And we actually came in contact with the folks at Capital Ministries last fall and have been in contact with them ever since. And so we announced to our church in the spring that we were going to shift our ministry direction, not our ministry purpose, but ministry direction, and join with Capital Ministries for the purpose of launching a brand new ministry at the Denver Capitol in Colorado.
One of the common challenges for missions is raising support. What does that look like for you?
Our church has graciously offered to pay our salary till the end of the year so that we can raise our missionary support so that we can begin our ministry in Denver, Lord willing, by May of 2020.
Is there a reason Denver?
Yeah, so right now Denver doesn't have a ministry there. And over the last 7 years, the population has increased in Colorado about 600,000 people. Population is growing there, but it's also a growing dark place.
I was just thinking, Colorado, we know they've legalized marijuana, and it's one of the, I think, 4 states now that have mandated public schools require lessons on LGBTQ history.
Yeah, that is correct. So what you've seen with that population increase, most of the people that are moving to the state are coming from the West Coast, and they have fled the high real estate market there, relocated to Denver, but they've brought their liberal politics with them. So Denver is not the moderate state that it had been for the last 20 to 30 years. And I actually grew up in Denver. My whole family's out there. And so I have a heart for the state.
Wow.
And boy, one little plant has really changed the landscape of the whole state. There's a growing need for the gospel and a biblical worldview to take root and anchor there in the state capitol.
So when you get there, Lord willing, will you be leading Bible studies?
Yes. So through this fall, we've been interacting with a couple of lawmakers from Colorado, a U.S. congressman, and then we're beginning to cultivate some relationships even now behind the scenes with some state congressmen who are followers of Jesus, who could potentially unlock some doors for us. And we've got a friend who may be a really key player with the judiciary in Denver as well. And the texture of our ministry will also potentially include Bible study with federal judges out west as well.
You're really on the front line, and I encourage you and Naomi to keep the faith and fight the good fight. Where can people go to learn more about Capital Ministries?
Yeah, they can go to capmin.org. That's capmin.org. That'll really give folks a good snapshot as to what we're doing, but also they can find all of the Bible studies that we're conducting in our study in Washington, D.C., with members of the House, Senate, and also President Trump's cabinet. I don't know if you know this, but there's a cabinet Bible study that meets weekly with President Trump's cabinet. Vice President Pence sponsors the study, and the president's cabinet faithfully walks through the Bible verse by verse every week. It's incredible to think about. But your listeners can access those Bible studies there at capmin.org.
That's Brian Solomon. I'm Tracy Lynn with Family Life News. How is the Lord guiding you to reach out to others?
All right, Tracy, thank you. Brian Solomon, of course, with Capital Ministries. The name of the feature, Missions in Action, comes your way Mondays during the Noon Report or online, fln.org/news. You can also download all our daily features at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. As a cold front works through the area this afternoon, look for some gusty showers and a thunderstorm in spots. Behind the front, it's cooler air. And as we work into the first night of official autumn, it'll feel cooler than last night and, in fact, will turn out to be just that. And then higher pressure will build in to clear the skies and return the sun thereafter. The call for this afternoon, rather cloudy and breezy, with a few showers and a thunderstorm in some areas. High temperatures in the 70s and lower 80s. Tonight, mostly cloudy with a leftover shower. Low temps dipping into the 50s. Tomorrow, cooler, clouds and a shower mixed with some sunshine. The high temps near 70. Mostly sunny on Wednesday. The high in the 70s.
All right, Kevin, thank you. A couple of very special 7-year-old twin boys from Western New York got to meet their real-life hero yesterday.
Jamie, Kristen, what's up? This is Josh Allen with the Buffalo Bills.
The Bills quarterback rolling out the red carpet for Jamie and Christian Bell at the team's home opener against the Bengals. Their mom, Samantha, says words cannot describe what that meant to them.
For him to take the time out and kind of learn their backstory and for him to personally say, you know, pick a game that you guys want to come to and seeing their face, it makes me feel good that they can smile and be happy and, that's what they need.
That's what they need, indeed. The boy's father, Nick Bell, a Marine veteran, tragically died in a car crash last month. The twins and their dad, well, they bonded over the Bills. That was their thing. And the quarterback went the extra mile yesterday to make those twins feel extra special.
Josh, thank you, Josh. We're a huge fan of Buffalo Bills. Go Bills!
Go Bills, indeed. Jamie and Christian Bell from Williamsville, New York, the world's biggest Buffalo Bills fans. Their team did not disappoint either. The Bills 3-0 on the season. First time that's happened in nearly a decade. And that's the world we live in. Monday, September 23rd. I'm Bob Price. Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.